B-Pod Studios.
You're listening to The Owl's Nest. To listen to the full episode, go to checkpointxp.com.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Owl's Nest. Thanks for watching, and if you'd like to get us on the go, you can also download a podcastable version of our show at Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever it is that you find your podcasts. Now, the Lone Star Challenge just wrapped up this past week, and come next Monday, the final series of the docuseries will be available over on the Outlaws and the Dallas Fuels YouTube channel. So I want to talk to you a little bit about this, Jake. Also, obviously, you know, the match results and how that ended up going down, as well as, you know, whether or not esports, the Overwatch League, you know, needs this sort of content and what it brings that currently viewers are sort of missing out on without it. So let's go ahead and start with the actual matches here first. Obviously, you know, Dallas had won 3 out of the 4 challenges over the 2-week period, which gave them a pretty big advantage being able to choose the first 3 maps that they played on. What was it that you saw out of the challenges, specifically, you know, between both Dallas and Houston, that you think led to Dallas taking the majority of these wins?
To be honest, I feel like Dallas was just, like, better prepared and more focused for these challenges. Like, they just played a lot better. At the same time, though, I do think the challenges, like, the map picks are pretty significant. And we saw a couple times where Dallas looked really dominant on a map pick. Well, not really. Mostly just one, right? Like, with Ilios, they just looked insane coming out so hot out of the gates. I was worried about the Outlaws coming into that series because they just got kind of dominated on Ilios. It wasn't all that close, to be fair. So their map picks seemed to be like, oh, wow, this is going to be a big deal for Dallas. And, you know, obviously coming out ahead in the challenges meant that, I guess to some people it might mean that, like, there's some individual differences or whatever, but in my mind, actually, the challenges are just so, so different than the actual game of Overwatch, which, you know, the challenges are very individual, you know, or even, you know, the small team ones are focused on eliminations. There's no objective, really, besides elimination. So it's a very unique sort of game mode that and a play style that just doesn't exist in competitive Overwatch. So I just don't think the challenges, like, mean too much for the 6-on-6 performance, aside from getting those map picks. And, you know, Houston proved that the map picks weren't really such a big deal. You know, even with, they took the second map, they took Kings Row, which was Dallas's pick, and then they took all, or they almost took Hanamura. Like, they were way ahead on Hanamura, and then you could argue, I think, that they just kind of slipped up in the end. So, to me, my thought is just, like, Dallas just couldn't really capitalize on these map picks the way that I thought that they would. Or maybe they hoped that they would.
So what was it that the Outlaws did? Because obviously, like you said, you know, when it comes to the team fights, when it comes to actually the 6v6, there's something else that goes into the mix that you don't find in the challenge. So what was it that Houston had that was able to put them, you know, just in front of Dallas and net them the win here?
Well, I think to me, there's two factors. Like, the first would be strategy. I think that the Outlaws made some better decisions as far as compositions go. I think that they favored the Orisa Sigma in a lot of situations where Dallas is playing, you know, a very, like, dive-heavy comp. They're playing, you know, like, lots of Winston and Tracer and stuff. And even though Decay had some, like, monster performances on Tracer, like, true carry performances, especially on Hanamura, I think securing that defense was, like, the Decay and Doha show, pretty much. Like, they just went crazy. You know, I still feel like the overall strategy of, like, this defensive Orisa comp is just overall better, at least on a few of the maps, like Rialto in particular, was where Dallas tried to run dive a lot and with pretty limited success, I would say. You know, the Outlaws just felt a lot stronger on that Orisa comp, and that ended up, I think, deciding most of the maps. You know, there's some key moments, like, especially when Outlaws started spawn camping on the Blizzard World payload section. That's a huge moment where Orisa Sigma is so dominant. And, you know, Dallas, they're playing the comp too, but it just felt like, especially with Hydration in, like, the Outlaws looked better than ever, actually, on that strategy, which was kind of a surprise to me, given that Mooma's experience on the hero.
That was actually going to be my next question to you, because we didn't just see it in the Lone Star Challenge. We also saw it in their matchup against the Vancouver Titans this past week as well, bringing Hydration in over Mooma. And, you know, during the cast, you know, you had mentioned that, you know, you had thought they would probably bring him in to play more of the Sigma, to play more of the Wrecking Ball, but, you know, he was playing both the Reinhardt and the Winston. So what are your thoughts there? Why bring in Hydration on the same characters that we've been seeing Mooma play, you know, for the past 3 seasons?
Well, I think Mooma is a really talented individual player, so I would say my guess, honestly, would be that they're focused on stuff that you can't really see you know, from the caster, from the fan perspective, which is like behind the scenes stuff, like communication and strategy. Because I mean, I think it's pretty hard for Hydration to compete on like raw mechanics on these heroes, given that he's picking them up with like a way shorter time frame. But Hydration has always been like a really intelligent player, I think, in his DPS play as well as his tank play. So I would guess that that's the focus, but it's one of those things where main tank, I think, is a very stylistic role where you can be quote unquote very, very good at main tank, but like if you're just not in sync with your team, it sort of doesn't really matter too much. And you know, you could argue that that's just a mistake to like go for those individual plays. So, I mean, with Hydration, the team looks really solid, looks really coordinated. Even with Hydration making a few mistakes in the match, overall, the team had like great support for him and great strategy around him. So, you know, you'd have to like know the team calls and you'd have to know like what's going on in practice to actually get an answer on this front. So you'd kind of have to ask the coaching staff, especially for the Houston Outlaws. But from their results, like you can't argue with it, right? The team looked really solid with that Hydration Mecco tank line.
That's right. So the other part of the Lone Star Challenge, of course, was the docuseries. We have seen two of the three episodes so far. Jake, obviously, you are featured heavily in them as the narrator for it, and I even got to make a small appearance at the start and the beginning of it. So my question to you is, why is content like this important, not just to the league, but to esports overall?
Well, I think there's two sides of the content. Like the first is to have this challenge in the first place. I think it's really exciting because, you know, Dallas and Houston have a bit of a special rivalry that is a bit unique in esports, but like there are other rivalries like it, I guess, but just like to have two teams in particular that have such a fierce individual rivalry, irrespective of the overall league, to me, this is like a perfect thing for them, right? Because the Houston Dallas, they wouldn't play each other too much, you know, in a regular season format, like, you know, once in a while, but no more than they really play other teams. So the fact that there's like a special focus on the rivalry and a special event to celebrate that and to highlight it, to me, is just like just making sure that you're keeping that fire alive and keeping that excitement and delivering the fans what they want, because I think they're really hungry for more rivalry content. But as far as like to take a broader look, why esports needs more content like this, that is where I would answer. I would look to like the human side of this docuseries, that, you know, you're getting to see behind the scenes for the players, like what is their life like, how are they practicing, especially during these crazy times of COVID-19, where I think people are hungry to connect with each other and to see what each other's lives are like. And there's a part of that I think that's just very human and very intelligible to anybody, whether you come from, you know, inside the scene and you're a huge fan of esports or you don't know much about it at all. Like either way, I think there's a lot to be had and appreciated from a series that is behind the scenes and gives you like a day in the life, so to speak. So in my mind, like that human content is something that the reason it's so good is that like endemic fans eat it up. They love it. And it's like the definition of authentic, which is a big thing in esports. But at the same time, you could be a total outsider, not know much. And this is like such a great way to get in and dip your toes in the water and start to see like the passion that is behind esports as a first step to getting interested.
That's right. So again, if you want to check that out, you can head on over to the Outlaws and the Dallas Fuel YouTube. That's the Lone Star Challenge. The first two episodes are up and the third one is coming soon. Again, as Jake said, this is a great time to try to get some of your friends who maybe have had a trouble, you know, understanding exactly what it is that draws you into the Overwatch League. Get them to watch this, and this might be the in that they need. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the May Melee. There are no hero bans this time. All heroes are on the table, and the meta could go just about anywhere. We'll discuss where it could go and how it's going to affect these teams coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.